It's my pleasure to introduce the speaker today, who is none other than my wife. So she will come up just now. And my wife is not so much a preacher, but a sharer. So I think she'll herself today, and she'll share the word probably, rather than preaching it. So come up, my darling.
Well, to stand here is never sort of an easy thing. You start, but so it's nice to see you all, and I trust that your eyes are fixed on Jesus and not on me, and your ears open to him and not to what I'm sharing, but the word which is alive. But before I share the word, I had a sort of, call it rather uninteresting experience, rather challenging, I would like you to know. And I think as I was worshiping and singing, I fixed my eyes on you. I think the Lord made something alive in me through this experience I've had. I've had this strange thing on my nose for about 2 years, and I thought, I'll cope with it somehow. It's not a problem. I'll doctor it in my own little way, thinking that will go, you know. And then some 3 weeks ago, or a little longer, I had a gentleman in the gallery, and I started showing him paintings and walking around and chatting, and he comes to me and he says, with his finger close to my nose, he said, "You have this seen to." So I thought, "Have this seen to?" He said, "If you were my patient, I will tell you tomorrow to go to the plastic surgeon because it's cancer." Oh, well, I did not expect anything like that. Then, you know, I immediately made my arrangements. And I think the surgeon, even the sister, said, "You've just come on time. Because if you'd waited any longer, you may have needed not only cutting it out, but the whole reconstruction of your nose." Well, that's enough to sort of make you sit up and listen. And he said, "I am a doctor in Canada." And I immediately knew the Lord is speaking. I have to respond. But now, as we were worshiping, you know, we have sin in our lives. And you think, you know, I can doctor it myself, or it's only a small sin, or it's not so serious, or I'll get away with it. You know, I can. Until someone points a finger and says, "You have to deal with this sin. If you let it grow bigger and bigger and bigger, the consequences of it are not going to be good. Deal with it now." So that is the word I think the Lord made alive this morning to share with you all. So also, when I share the word, please take it to heart. Do you hear me, or is it also there in the back? Is it okay? Because I here on this side, I don't think anyone can hear me. But so before I share the word, the title is "Dangerous Consequences of Offense." Now, is there anyone here, sitting here, who can say, "Oh no, I'm never offended"? Please Can I see a finger? No fingers. Ah, then this message is for all to hear. Are you ready? Good. Would you like to? I'm going to read the scriptures. And we have, I hope by the time I finished, you, like myself, have a slightly higher opinion about Adam and Eve. I know the consequences of their sin we carry even today, but I did get a slight more higher opinion about Eve and feeling very sorry for her after having studied this. It is Genesis 4, and I will start reading from verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. That is the first disaster, the first killing in the whole history. So it didn't start very good. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So the consequences of his sin. But where did it all start? And sort of I spent a bit of time reading in between the lines. So if you permit me to put flesh to the bones, then what caused Cain to kill his brother? What was the root cause of it? And why did God not respect Cain's offering, and yet Abel's offering was accepted? Now, there may be a few different ways of looking at it, but I think it was the offense in Cain's heart. And I'll get to that explaining where I think the offense came in. So, and sin, whether small or bigger, sin has a way of growing. And the consequences of sin can be quite serious. Now, Adam and Eve may have thought, what on earth is wrong with eating this beautiful fruit? You know, it's only fruit. What can go wrong? But it was the disobedience to the Lord. But sin has a way of growing. If it is not dealt with, and we see it for what it really is, like this little thing, you know, can't do any harm. And you know, when Adam and Eve run away, they hid. They didn't want to be confronted by the Lord about their sin. They sort of started blaming one and another, you know. No, it was him. And what the Lord said to Eve, and that is in Genesis 3:16, I will greatly multiply your sorrow, not your joy, your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Well, do I say more? Now look at Adam and Eve. They were the very first natural mom and dad. So when Eve, and you know, in the Garden of Eden, everything was beautiful. Everything was supplied. And now here, because of their sin, they are cast out and have to start discovering what life is without God's full provision and blessing. And I was thinking, shoo, what a big price to pay. They had to pay for their sin. So for Eve, can you imagine? She had never, ever seen a baby. Never. Can you imagine being a woman? You don't even know what it is like to be falling pregnant. You don't know this thing is growing and growing. And then how do you? I was thinking this poor Eve had to find. There were no clinics. There was no gynecologist. There were no doctors, no cell phones, no mother she could go to and say, you know, Mom, what did you do when you received me? Nothing like it. Do you get the picture? Okay, good. Now, when Cain was born, can you imagine the miracle to Eve? This thing, this tiny little parcel, a son, a baby. How do I bring this little one up? So this little Cain was the greatest, the most beautiful, the most precious, and there was for Cain no competition. He had everything he wanted, everything he needed, and he was bonded to his mom and dad like no other baby, because there was nothing else. Now, I don't know how old it was when Abel came along, but here comes Abel. Here, the focus is from mom and dad are shifted. Hi. So Abel, Cain is now feeling a bit, hard done by, because he's not any longer number one. He's now got to share with this other. And he had never seen anything like it. So now this brother comes along. So what I believe here, where was the first little seed, tiny seed of jealousy? Could it be jealousy? Could it be offense? Could it be, and maybe even blaming mom and dad for this other creature in his life and taking the attention away from him. And so I really believe that it was offense. So he had to share with his brother the pampering and everything else. Now, we all know that everything, life is in the seed, and every little seed has the ability to bring forth fruit, for good or for bad, we know. So in this case, maybe that tiny seed, he started feeding that seed, and it became, grew bigger and bigger, and it may even have become resentment, and there were other siblings as well, resentment, also against his mom and dad, and offense, unforgiveness. And so this bitter thing that has now grown into his heart, and we know out of the abundance of the heart, we project, we speak, so if there is bitterness, resentment, offense in our hearts, there is not a lovely flow of sweetness coming forth. And I think that Cain didn't realize that it was a cancerous thing eating away further and further and further. And it had a negative effect on his relationship with the siblings, with Abel, with maybe even his mom and dad. So the offense became a true negative attribute to his character, and it became a stumbling block for himself and stumbling block in the relationship. Now, why was Cain's offering not accepted? Well, do you know, God knows everything what is going on. There is nothing hidden from the Lord. So God knew what was going on in Cain's heart, and I think the Lord wanted to expose it so that he could repent of it. But, so let's read Hebrews 4, verse 13. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we have to give an account. So I think if we all, including Cain, had admitted his wrong attitude, the Lord would have had a different, dealt with him in a totally different way. So the Lord challenged Cain, why are you angry? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So if the Lord points out sin in our lives, we should rule over it, bring it under the blood of Jesus, repent of it, and let the Lord have a work in us. Yeah, God wanted to Cain to see his attitude, that it was wrong. And the Lord gave him the opportunity to repent and to make right. Now, I have a testimony of repentance daily, but of offense that truly ruined almost my relationship with the Lord. And it goes back many, many, many years. And I didn't even know what it was, offense. I didn't know that it was sin. And it goes back to it was the third pastor here, so that is like last century. I was with him and his wife, and he wanted me to do something decorative in the church, and he wanted to make it comfortable and homely. And I thought, God, how do you make a church building comfortable and homely? I didn't quite get it. And she could read it on my face. She said, oh, but we all help you. And he spoke to her in a way that offended me. Now, I didn't know that that was serious. But in the end, 3 years almost, it took. I didn't want to go to church anymore. I didn't want to see him anymore. I didn't want to listen to him anymore, because I couldn't accept it was that root of offense that crept deeper and deeper and deeper. And then there, but darling, did the Lord tell us where to go? Is there another church? The Lord, no. Okay, we are going to stay. Now, this particular Sunday night after church, again, sitting through the message and thinking, oh, I wish he'd finished. And at home in the night, I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel the way I was desperate? And the Lord put a little, like a little clip in front of me, showing me the very moment that it was offense and that I had to repent. He showed me exactly what and where it had come in. Oh! So I thought, oh gosh, well, I will have to phone and make an appointment to see him. And I thought, oh, I hope he's not going to bite my head off. And I was scared. So here the Tuesday morning, he said, yeah, you can come at 9:00. I'll be there. And I repented. And I said, sorry, Leon, that and that and that and that and that. And I'm awfully, well, you do not believe me, but the transformation was enormous. And all of a sudden, there was a total, that big wall that I had been building there was gone. And so just that, out of my own experience, then, wow. And I truly, I was never again offended with him. And sort of when offense comes to my door, I recognize it far quicker and think, no, Lord, I'm not going to allow this. In Jesus' name, forgive me. And try to move in the opposite spirit and use it as an advantage. So that is just a little testimony. But Cain didn't admit that he had sinned. And, you know, the Lord said to him, you should rule over it. And I think the only way we can rule over it is acknowledging it and let the Holy Spirit help us to move in the opposite spirit. Because if we don't move in the opposite spirit, it's very easy to fall prey and not be an instrument in God's hands very effectively. So then we go to another point. We, like Eve and Adam, we look for justification. But, you know, my husband was wrong. And you know, and you tell your mom, do you know what? He didn't come home and he didn't tell me the truth. And, you know, and mom says, poor thing. No, you've got every reason to be offended. And tell him. Give him stick. You know, and this thing can so easily grow out of proportion. Rather, Derek used to be very good in moving in the opposite spirit. If I was cocky or if I was snappy, he'd say, did I tell you that I love you? Or he'd say, Lord, you've given me the most beautiful wife. Thank you, Lord, for this loving wife. And so he diffused many an argument. And he was always victorious in it because it would disarm me completely and totally. And so here you are. So this is just an example how we, in moments where you think, do go in the opposite spirit and have a solution. So we go to Genesis 4, verse 10. What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. So God's punishment was very severe. And you know, we often are offenses often come by disappointments, expectations which are not met. When someone walks in the gallery and I greet nicely and friendly, and they walk past and they take the very first door to the toilet, I think, you know, they should at least ask. But I've learned to make it a moment of where I can sort of, when they come out, interact nicely and at least give a kind word. But, you know, some silly things we can easily get offended by. So, just a little one. The other day, maybe 6 weeks ago, dear Morja, I had sort of my expectations were sort of not met. It was when we had that we were going to join the youth after their get-together, and then we would worship with them and have prayer. That was on a Thursday night. And I get here, it's all dark, and they're dancing and singing on out there. And I thought, I'm not in the mood to go with this blaring and singing and lights. And so I was not the kindest. I didn't move in the spirit. I moved in the flesh, I admit. I said to Derek, darling, no, you can take me home. I'm not going to sit here. So my expectations were that we were having nice worship and then going into prayer. But that was my expectations, which didn't quite match up with what I saw. So poor Morja happened to see my expression, and he heard, you can take me home to Derek. So I couldn't sleep the whole night because I knew poor Morja, I have obviously offended the poor man who's doing all he can to make something great out of the youngsters. So the next morning, I immediately, as soon as I got, I took the phone and I sent him a WhatsApp of true repentance and saying, please, Morja, would you please forgive me? And you know, if I hadn't done that, I wonder how our relationship today would be. So humility goes a long way, whereas pride, we know God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if we want to really be true instruments in the Lord's hands, I hope what I've shared sort of has made sense to you all, and maybe like a stepping stone in seeing it, and okay, yeah, no, I remember what Rosita was talking about. I think I can identify. And in humility, bow before the Lord and repent of it, because I think we will miss it. Opportunities. Well, we can create opportunities when we are clean before the Lord, because sin separates. So may this sharing be of benefits to you in the name of Jesus.